Springall turned on Horsey.
You blathering fool, what have you done? Idiot.
Horsey flapped his ears airily.
Creating a small diversion. No need to get your fire in an uproar, old thing, what?
Fanny's tail went stiff as Horsey's foolish act dawned on her.
You puddin' brain, can't you see that those babes will be drowned if there isn't any beast responsible to watch over them?
The young hare slapped the paw to his brow.
Oh, corks, you're right. I never gave that a flipping thought.
Leaning wide out of the window, he bellowed.
I say, little chaps, come back this very instant, do you hear?
Dearie me, what's all this shouting about?
Horsey found himself staring down into the questioning face of Brother Gelf, who was returning some bowls to the kitchen when he heard the commotion. Fenner pushed past Horsey, her voice shrill with anxiety.
Hurry, brother, the dibbons are down at the pond alone. There's no beast with them. Oh, hurry, please.
The mouse sped off as fast as his paws would carry him. In a trice, the bells of Redwall were tolling out an alarm. Creatures could be seen hurrying toward the pond. Torren was out in front, shedding his apron as he ran and plunging straight into the water. Luckily, none of the dibbons was harmed. Most of them were garnered from the shallows by willing paws. Though Torren had to swim for Muggum, the mole babe was well out of his depth, floating about like a ball of downy fur. Formal Dwirl's resounding bass tone could be heard, calling to the abbot as he panted up, pushing Martha's chair.
"They am all right, Sir Abbot, only a bit wetted."
Horsey was shaking all over as he turned to his friends and laughed with relief.
"No harm done, chaps. At least my diversion worked, what?"
Springald and Fenner leapt upon him, boxing his ears and kicking his bottom. They were furious.
"No thanks to you and your bright ideas.
You great waffling funnel-brained nincompoop."
Horsey broke loose and seized the travelling gear.
"What's done is done. Sorry, chaps, and all that. We'd better make ourselves scarce. Let's go while the going's good."
Sister Setiva was toweling the babes dry with Torren's apron under her shawl. Others were helping, using anything that came to pour. The shrew nurse railed on at the dibbons, alternately drying and hugging each one.
"Oh, why would you want to do such a silly thing, my babbies? Have you not been told about playing alone by the water, eh?"
Under the stern eyes of Abbot Carroll, Martha and the dripping wet Torren, the whole story emerged. Martha could scarcely believe her ears when she heard that it was her brother who had encouraged the little dibbons. Seething with righteous wrath, she turned to Torren.
"Mr. Whitegirth, would you kindly push me up to the abbey? I wish to have some severe words with that brother of mine."
The Ossacook bowed politely.
"Certainly, Miss Braybook. I'm sure there's one or two wants words with Master Horty, one of them being me."
A procession of Redwallers followed Martha into the abbey. The dibbons were enjoying the affair hugely, seeing some of the beast getting blamed for their escapade. They tagged along, muttering darkly of tail chopping and bottom scalping punishments. Some were even speculating that Horsey would be boiled in a soup pan. Their delight, however, was short-lived. Sister Setiva and some mole wives whisked them off down to Cavern Hole.
"Into the bath, you filthy wee beasts! Och, there's nae telling what muck and mire you picked up in yon pond."
The abbey babes wailed piteously, but to no avail. Boom, boom. Torren's hefty paw reverberated on the dormitory door. After a moment's silence, his voice rang out harshly.
"Master Horty, your sister and Father Abbot want a word with you downstairs. Miss Fenner and Miss Springall, ye'd best show yourselves too."
Martha sat down in Great Hall and waited.